Last Word on Today FM.
Let's start with Charlie Weston and personal finance. And we still have positive news. Charlie, I've been probably giving out to you a bit in recent weeks about negative things, but you might have some good news for us here today. So let's start with a big fall in personal injuries claims, because that will lead, won't it, to lower premiums for us all.
You would hope, Matt. Fingers crossed, but we haven't seen it up to now. But there has been a huge fall in personal injuries claims. And this is from the body that deals with personal injuries claims, the state body, the Injuries Resolution Board, used to be called PIAB. It says, if you go back to 2019, before the pandemic, there has been a 35% fall in the number of claims that they're getting. And the value of the claims being paid out is way down as well. That is just extraordinary, Matt, despite the fact that traffic levels are back to what they were before the pandemic, or actually above what they were before the pandemic. Employment levels are way up, you know, so there should be more workplace accidents. But despite all that, there's been a huge fall in claims. Motor claims are down 30%. Accident claims in the workplace and that kind of thing are down about 40%. You know, the value of the typical claim or the median claim down about 5.5 grand since 2020 to about €13,000. All of that should lead into lower insurance premiums. But is it? Are the insurance companies laughing at us? I think they are laughing at us. The last report we saw from the central bank was about the business insurance side, liability they call it. They made a combined profit in 2023 of €175 million. That's a profit margin of 13%. That's more than double what is standard across, you know, in Western insurance countries, in Western Europe. So between the lawyers, because a huge number of cases are litigated, and you know the legal fees are monstrously big. They're as big as the award. Between the lawyers and the insurance companies, the driver is not getting a fair crack at the whip here. You know, when you have the minister who you have on later, I know Peter Bourke, Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment, he says he expects premiums to fall. You know, everything is going the way of the insurers, but we need to see more on this, because you know motor and premiums, they're up for about 18 months in a row now. Up about 11.5%. Your home insurance is way up. And the insurance companies, they say, oh, look, the problem here is too many cases are litigated. They're very expensive. We have to pay out loads of money. And remember as well that the judges recently recommended that the payouts on litigated claims go up as well by 17%. Now, the government has to decide on that. So, look, it should be, all of this should be helping insurers lower premiums, but we're not seeing it. So, the pressure
has to come on. Is there a regulator who can force them to reduce premiums? Can the government issue an instruction? Or can it just, or is it just literally only able to say, we think they should be lower?
It, unfortunately, all they seem to do is say that we think they should be lower. We don't regulate prices in this country. I've often said that maybe we should. We have the central bank, which is the kind of the, you know, their main concern is to make sure these insurance companies are properly capitalized and properly regulated and supervised. You have the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission to make sure there's no unfair competitive practices going on, like that they're not price signaling. They had slapped them on the wrist for that a few years ago. But you've nobody just saying to them, hold on a minute here, guys. You're cleaning up here. You know, motor claims are down 30%, and yet in the last 18 months in a row, insurance has gone up for motors. Something wrong here, something amiss. So, yes, somebody should be able to take them on and tell them, this ain't fair. You got everything you wanted in terms of radical reforms that you asked for. Now, you deliver your side of the bargain and stop whinging about the, yes, the litigated claims are a problem. Yes, there are a small number of ambulance-chasing lawyers making out good-o on claims and silly amounts of money being given out by some judges. But still, we deserve a fairer break here from the insurance companies.
Okay, something that was decided yesterday by government. The VAT on energy is not going to go back to its old rate of 13.5% for the moment anyway, is it?
It's not for the moment, Matt. Yeah, that's at the end of this month, 1st of May, the VAT rate on your electricity bill and your gas bill was due to go back from the temporary, it's at a temporary level at 9% at the moment. It was due to go up to 13.5% from May the 1st. Now, that would have added, over a year, that costs about €70 on a typical family electricity bill. It's about €60 on a gas bill. So the two together would have been a fair whack of money. But the government decided at the cabinet meeting this week to keep this 9% VAT rate until at least the end of the year. So, you know, around the budget time, and hopefully in the budget they'll announce that they'll keep it down as well, because as we've seen from the start of from Tuesday, no, sorry, actually today, actually SSE Electricity, they're putting up their electricity prices by 10.5%, their gas prices by 8.4%. So the last thing we need is the government whacking on more onto your bill. There's already levies and network charges and VAT on your, and you're paying VAT on the bill anyway. So, you know, you pay carbon tax on your gas bill, but not in your electricity bill. This would be the last thing the households would want. So that's a bit of a reprieve for households. It's a positive, it's good news.
At this time yesterday, I had Pascal Dunne, who is the Minister for Finance, on, telling us about how he was changing the bands in relation to the local property tax, because if he didn't, there would have been that an awful lot of people, with the house prices having gone up, or the value of their house prices, that they probably would have moved up onto the next band or even another band further ahead, and they would have been paying higher LPT next January or March.
That's right. We would have got a massive whack of an increase, because there's a revaluation due to take place. It's due to take place on November the 1st. In the meantime, house prices have gone up about 23%. So yes, Matt, you would have been... most people pay... about half of those who pay property tax pay about €315 a year. There's a very good chance that huge numbers would have moved into the next band, which would have been 405 or even higher. So what he's doing is he's slightly reducing the rate that you pay, and he's widening out those bands. So, you know, more houses will stay in those bands where most people pay at the moment. We'll stay in that. So that's going to be a bit of a help.
Odd one though, Charlie. I mean, a lot of people were actually getting in touch yesterday, giving out about property tax and their local property tax. They're deeply insulted by it. They feel they don't get enough for it. Now, and I'm only playing devil's advocate here, and I express a couple of things. You know, if you have a home, at least you own it, whereas there are people who are renting who would love to have a home to be paying local property tax. And there also is that there's an awful lot of wealth in Ireland tied up in property. Mm. We saw this report from Goodbody yesterday, which said there's 1.2 trillion in wealth. Mm. That you have retired people who have 27% of the wealth, even though they're only 16% of the population, mainly down to the fact that they own homes. So if you, most countries tax wealth rather than focusing on income. And for all the people that complain about our income tax is too high, particularly when you've USC added in, one of the reasons why we have high income tax and high USC is because we don't have wealth taxes. Property is wealth, and yet we complain when property is taxed.
Look at, you know, and you've all the left-wingish parties in the Dáil are against property tax, you know, want it abolished. And yet it is essentially, in every other country, it would be regarded as a wealth tax.
It's the left-wing parties that demand property taxes everywhere except Ireland.
In other countries, exactly. It's seen as, you know, a good one to hit. You've seen a fair bit of that in England at the moment. But, you know, it's part of our psychology. We just deeply, deeply resent this idea that you have used after-tax income to buy a home and then it's going to be taxed.
Yeah, but the value of the asset soars not because of anything you've done. It's just because of a shortage of supply in the market.
Yeah, the boomers are the ones who get lucky. The ones over 60, you know, over 62 or 3, they're the ones who got really lucky. Now, they'll argue, oh, hold on a minute. We were paying mega high income taxes and we had interest rates that were, you know, a multiple of what you're paying at the moment. We've more than paid for this. So people get really wound up about this. But, you know, it's a fair point. It is a wealth tax. There's no doubt about that.
Okay, briefly, Ian covered this yesterday, but Avant Money, is that going to change things in the banking market here in Ireland?
I should certainly hope so. We haven't had a new overseas bank come in here for 20 years. They went and met the Minister for Finance today, Pascal Donoghue. They hopefully will launch a deposit account by the end of the year, possibly current accounts after that. Something needs to be shaken up in this market. We have a situation where AIB and Bank of Ireland are totally dominant, making profits of €4.5 billion, not because they're good bankers, just because they can, and because the margin they make for all those deposits they have, and they lend out that deposit money in mortgages, and it's easy money for them. We need somebody to come in here and shake them up, and hopefully this bank will. It's one of the top 50 banks in Europe. It'll be a digital bank. It won't have branches, but we desperately need a bit of competition in our market, which is, you know, we lost Bank of Scotland about 20 years, about 15 years ago, Danske Bank at the same time. And then about 4 years ago, KBC and Ulster Bank said they were pulling out. So it's more than overdue.
And one final one. Do you think with inflation now down to 2.2%, could the European Central Bank cut interest rates again? Or is it that they'd be too worried about the possible implication of Trump's tariffs?
It's a bit of on a knife edge, Matt. The European Central Bank is due to meet Thursday week, April the 17th. The expectation was that they would cut interest rates. There's still a 65% chance, according to economists, that they will cut rates. But they need, you know, we need to see how these Trump tariffs will unwind, see if that will happen first.
Okay, thank you very much, Charlie Weston, personal finance editor of the Irish Independent.
The Last Word on Today FM.